32nd, I think, anniversary of Prabhupada's departure from this world. It's not a pleasant occasion, necessarily, for the disciples and the followers of Srila Prabhupada, who are suffering in his separation. But Krishna is independent. He acts as he wants, and we have to go along with Krishna's plan. It's Krishna's plan that somehow Prabhupada's mission carries on in his physical absence. I was thinking this morning about one verse in the 11th canto, spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. Thank you. Acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyeta parichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarva deva mayo guruhu. I don't remember Prabhupada's translation, but it says, one should consider one's acharya to be me. And one should never take him lightly, disregard him. One shouldn't have any envy toward him, which comes by thinking him to be an ordinary man. Because Guru, spiritual master, embodies all the gods, all the demigods. This is a very important verse. Prabhupada cited and discussed it many times. I looked at the commentaries this morning and I was surprised that they had very little to say. All the commentaries. They just passed over it very briefly. Maybe because the message of it is so obvious that it doesn't have to be commented on. But we should think about it. Both words, acharya and guru, are used in this verse. We should understand that acharya is not an impersonal principle, and we have to apply it individually. We each have our own spiritual master. It's a relationship. Krishna is the father and the guru of the whole universe, but the living entities who represent Krishna act as spiritual masters for particular devotees. But Prabhupada he's certainly spiritual master for the whole world, but he's particularly spiritual master for the organization and the following that he developed for his disciples and his disciples' disciples. He's the acharya. Krishna says we should consider the acharya to be as good as God. And we should be very careful about disregarding him. Or, of course, we never consciously envy Srila Prabhupada. But what Krishna is saying is that if you think he's an ordinary person like you, in his short commentary, the thing is, Jiva Goswami uses the word madrisho. What does it mean to think the spiritual master an ordinary person? And Jiva Goswami says, madrisho. Buddha, thinking that he's somebody like you, like yourself. Like ourselves, we are prisoners of this material world. And we're here because of our envy of Krishna, our selfishness, and so on, because of our bad qualities. And spiritual master is not such a person. He is a pure lover of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, we pray to him, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, the most dear to Krishna on the face of the earth. So we should always look at the spiritual master, understanding first of all that he has a very intimate relationship of love and trust that's between him and Krishna. And our hope to develop our relationship with Krishna lies on our establishing our connection with our spiritual master. A connection that has to be on the basis of hearing and serving. So I was also thinking about, thinking a bit about how Prabhupada came from the spiritual world out of great kindness to help us. He came from a place where there is no envy, where nobody's selfish, and there's perfect harmony and cooperation. And he came into this world where it's all the opposite. Envy, pick any two people and they're envious of each other, including husband, wife, children, parents. Everyone is envious of one another. Everyone's selfish, just always scheming to fulfill their own interests. And therefore there's no cooperation and harmony. The Prabhupada came from the spiritual world where it's not like that. And he came to teach us how to revive our spiritual life, how to change our understanding, our behavior, and our attitudes so that we can re-enter the loving service of Krishna. And I was thinking how Prabhupada, more specifically, he came to us to make an organized effort, not just to preach to a few people, but to organize a spiritual society, the purpose of which is to make human beings, any human being, all kinds of human beings, into pure, loving devotees of Krishna. And to establish this society in such a way that it would last for 10,000 years. That basically, I think, is Prabhupada's purpose to coming to this world. Although he has his personal connection with Krishna, and in his sarupa, he's doing other services to Krishna. But all we ever saw of him was his preaching persona, working to establish and manage this spiritual society. So then I was thinking that this is a great challenge for us, that Prabhupada has given us all his instructions, but our challenge is that what Prabhupada set up is meant to prosper for 5,000 years and to continue for 10,000 years. This is our very formidable challenge. This is our prime duty to Srila Prabhupada in the given time and place. We tend to think about from a narrow point of view, what our problem today in this particular place. I'm a member of a community in some city, and we have a local problem. The city government won't give us permit to build our temple. And we think that's the beginning and the end of all the world's problems. But from a broader point of view, putting aside all our difficulties stemming from obstacles created by material nature and materialistic people, and obstacles caused by our own spiritual incompetence and our own inability to cooperate with one another, putting that aside, our real business, our real challenge is how to see that Prabhupada's movement, the way he wanted it established, is perpetuated, at least for the term that he wanted. He wanted his books to be the law books for mankind for the next 10,000 years. How will that be done? Prabhupada's books need to be distributed. They need to be promoted. They need to be lived, so that people in this world will take them seriously as the standard guidebooks how to live human life. Anyway, I can only come up with the questions. I don't have any answers. How we can modify our behavior and attitudes so that Prabhupada's movement does go on, prospers, and becomes established very solidly. But this is our challenge. This is the offering that we have to make, collective offering we have to make to Prabhupada, that his movement doesn't just fade away or disintegrate into quarrels or just stagnate. Hare Krishna. Well, that's all I have to say on that topic. I personally, unfortunately, when Prabhupada was present, I didn't really deserve his personal association. I joined ISKCON when there already were 5,000 disciples, and I was just a nobody. So I only had 10 minutes direct association face-to-face with Prabhupada. And here, 32 years after Prabhupada's disappearance, I don't feel much more deserving of his association. But I'm his servant. Prabhupada is a guru, the biggest guru that I know, for my lifetime. A guru is attractive. He brings other people under his influence. That's what it means to be a guru, one of the meanings of it. Just by your heavy, by force of gravitation, the heavier object attracts the smaller object. That's the basis of the power of gravitation. So a heavy person influences the lighter people. It's relative. But Prabhupada was so heavy that he attracted so many thousands and hundreds of thousands. So we're all pulled together by this attractive force. One image may be a little gross, is that we're all like flies stuck on the same flypaper. We can't extricate ourselves from each other's association because we're all attracted to the same power, Prabhupada. So therefore, since we're all stuck together, we might as well become friends and learn to work together for Prabhupada's mission somehow. Well, all I can do is offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and pray that it'll let me be a little useful for him at least in the few years that I have left in this life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Everyone, please move up by 7.2 inches. We're going to have to fit everyone in. Economize space as much as possible in whichever direction.
Natimaram Dashya Ganagana Sarakya Shakshur Tasmai Shri Guru Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Krishna Kutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swantanam Namaste Saraswati Deve Guruvani Pracharna Nirvise Sasinavali Paskitya Satan. Mm-hmm. gracias. That's one of the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, as I perceive, from my point, like being one a little bit maybe removed from the very center, but at the same time being part of the mission from 1970. So what's what I put here is that Prabhupada had a very big mission, biggest, or such a big vision for a mission, as we heard here, for the coming 10,000 years. At the same time, there was the personal attention. Otherwise, we could say that that's a big mission. Yes, let's forget about the person. The individuals get a secondary position, but Prabhupada also gave personal attention to the followers, and was personally concerned. My own connection with Prabhupada, my direct exchange with Srila Prabhupada is not very much, but doesn't mean there was some kind of exchange that tied me, so to say. On the spiritual level, we heard here the essence of something to hear and serve. When I first started as I mentioned yesterday, that I came to know Prabhupada very much through God brothers and God sisters who had been very close and had been serving and knew him personally and who communicated that to me where I was. And of course, this, as I mentioned yesterday, is it kind of goes on until today, so to say. So that's everyone get a in one sense, an equal share, a still valid possibility to understand something of Srila Prabhupada, specifically now when we have the modern technology to help to spread the testimonies all over the world. Now, I had one personal, I did write one letter to Srila Prabhupada. And then I asked to be initiated by Srila Prabhupada, kindly answered it and accepted me as a disciple. In the letter, sometimes my mind gets worried, it's not easy to be clear, but in that, I remember that letter was something, and finally I got it clear. Tadviri pranipatina pariprasnana seva upadekshanti te jnanam jnananas tatvadashina. Okay. Prabhupada, you write in your book like this, and Hare Krishna, and the temple president says that we should accept the spiritual master, it's very important, so therefore kindly accept me as your disciple. And then Prabhupada answered and kindly accepted me and wrote some encouraging, instructive lines and encouraging lines. With a person, in connection with the personal attention, there was that writing the letter was one thing, but then I was to collect Guru Dakshin. This was 1971 in Germany. So I've written the letter, put it together, and I was going out on Sankirtan during the day, collecting. But then to connect Guru Dakshin was, I had to do separately. So I went out in the evening with approaching people and explaining that I was getting initiated. I asked for a donation. So I managed to collect 5 Deutschmark in the evening. What do I think? What a small sum. What's that? So let's say 5 German mark. I don't know. Now I think it's more worth now than then. But in the reply from Prabhupada was interesting. I noted that there was a written, I assume there's a secretary writing and typing it down and like that. And then at the end there's a small footnote written by hand. To me, it looks like as if I don't know if it worked like that, but Prabhupada kind of got it. Say, well, but there was 5 Deutschmark donation also, the reduction. So that was like added at the end of the letter that yes, you gave 5 Deutschmark also. That's how I perceive it, so to say. I choose to see it that way, that Prabhupada made that point. Decades later, I met with Shamsunda Prabhu, who was, I believe he was personal secretary, was around. I don't know if he really remembers anything, but I did ask him about it, and he confirmed my point, but whether he really remember it, I don't know. But so that way, I say, Prabhupada, in some way, taking notice of the person on a personal level, even a small contribution was noted, was appreciated. Of course, that letter is still there, and it's an encouragement and to do street sankirtan as far as possible, follow 4 regulated principles, and continue in this way, read my books regularly, and continue with this way. And your progress in Krishna consciousness will be rapid, so to say. Now the personal attention, Prabhupada, his care. Later on, 1975, there was a tension in the Swedish yatra in Stockholm. And my Swedish godbrothers had some difficulty with it. Oh, there was a complaint with the temple president. So the temple president again writes Srila Prabhupada and says, yes, we're doing nice, we're doing the book distribution, we're doing big this many ways. And Prabhupada answers, but then at the end he says, by the way, I've heard there's this devotee is not allowed into the temple. I don't think that's good. Let's say. So he had that personal, looking for the personal. He was not just bureaucratic, institutional, but it was a personal touch to it. 1975 also, there was, what strikes me was how, well, in one sense, how Prabhupada spoke to me, there was also a case in Germany. Then the GBC was getting quite a bit of a following, and the devotees kind of appreciated or maybe worshipped him in a way more than Prabhupada. So then there was a lecture in Mayapur, 1975, and I was there. And I remember this, the one thing, because this was like a question in my mind. And there I'm sitting in the, a little bit sick, and sitting in the temple room, but then Prabhupada just makes the point that as... there's a lecture, and then there's a point to make that, in general, in the presence of the acharya, living, one don't initiate, but that don't become guru. He just made a small point like that, in his lecture, but it somehow or another spoke to me. I took it. Okay, the question is answered. One sentence in a lecture, and that one I remember because it was significant. he paid personal attention when in. I believe that was in Paris, could have been 1972. Also Prabhupada, and I'm asking in one sense forgiveness from Prabhupada, because there was a young bhakta. Well, I was a young bhakta also in one sense. Now I was a devotee, initiated devotee, was a young devotee who had a bhakta. He had not yet shaved up, the long hair, and we were standing, and then someone other got irritated in his hair and said, well, you should, something like, why don't you shave up? But I was a little bit unsensitive. The young bhakta got very disturbed and went up to Prabhupada's quarters and was crying and was a complaint and presented to Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada, then later on I heard a report that Prabhupada had asked, who was this? Who was this rude fellow? Someone came down there and I'm standing there feeling ashamed. And I asked Prabhupada, sorry. It was me. Later on, I spoke with a devotee many years later and said, referred to the incident, and he appreciated my point, even though he had forgotten the incident. Mm-hmm. But Prabhupada took that. In one sense, he couldn't just roll over people, so to say, in the name of the mission, roll over, or, you know, roll over, I would say. The mission is there, at the same time the persons that should be, and the devotees, the followers that should be cared for in a nice way. There, so that way, my personal encounters, but in one sense, seeing the greatness, as I see as the greatness of Prabhupada. And I mentioned yesterday another greatness, what I see when he was in Sweden, I mentioned it here also, was when he gave his lecture. And we know that it's when lecturing or preaching, being very personal or like that, but at the same time when preaching, it could be very strong. So we know he had this lecture in Uppsala, not Stockholm, he says Stockholm on the tape, but it's not in Stockholm, it's in Uppsala. And that's a difference. Uppsala is a university town about 100 kilometers north of Stockholm.
With that. To the archives and tell them
that. Okay. Well, that's small details, as I say.
They should have.
Yeah. But there he gave this, he gave his long and strong lecture in the Social Democratic Sweden. Against Vietnam, no, not against Vietnam, for Vietnam, for Viet Cong, against USA, socialistic minded. And he speak strongly or just very clearly about Varnashram Dharma. Prabhupada was not afraid to stating what he thought. Because then there was this one student in the hall, in the university, all university student. He was not from Sweden, I just say that, but he was studying there, and he challenged Prabhupada on Ashram. Okay, so then you're the first class people. So then Prabhupada like rounded. No, we're the fifth class because we're serving everyone. And then the argument goes on, something, and then Prabhupada asks, "So why did you come here?" "Well, I wanted to learn something." "But then take it from us, Krishna is God." Now kirtan. As you said, there was no hope for any mutual agreements. He kind of cut off in a nice way, I would say, or in a decisive way, in a strong way. And he was sort of like on the top of the situation. But I would say there, that is, he was boldly, strongly preaching, personal concern, strongly preaching, and also making sure that the institutional movement was going to go on. Prabhupada, when as a young devotee who came to Sweden, there was an opportunity that I could go someplace and just meet someone, but who had shown some interest in some other part of Sweden, and neglected that. And then and there was a dream. Okay, Prabhupada and dreams. But the dreams, in many ways, it guess it's real, or speaking. Maybe not. They're not an absolute fact in the same way as a personal interaction. But there was this dream, and then I have this. There's a dream. There's a telephone, and I'm there. The telephone is ringing. I'm getting a call, okay. And I'm saying, Prabhupada standing nearby, the telephone is ringing. And he says, "That's my dream."
Can't you even answer a phone call? I woke up out of the dream. And I did end up going to that place to contact that person. But maybe I think that was a little bit my dilemma. I might have a little bit difficulty to answer your phone calls. Because sometimes in the phone call, in one sense, there's a direct instructions, but sometimes there's also, thoughts. Well, maybe you should do this or say that or whatever, interact or contribute in a way, but maybe keeping it, in my case, keeping it for myself, so to say, instead of responding, so to say, to the call. And specifically within the frame of Guru Sadhu Shastra, so what's the problem? 1977, when Prabhupada, in May, there was, of course, in my relationship with Prabhupada, it makes impressions, and you do remember, because a dream, and there was this, one case, yes, Prabhupada was not so well, but he was still quite okay, and then something, like Prabhupada, and then a servant, and there's a dream, and then I say, oh, Prabhupada's not so well. And then I kind of wake up, oh, Prabhupada, and it was kind of an indication of the situation. Of course, we didn't we didn't want to believe that Prabhupada would leave us. Later on that day, I went out and was like, and that was in my mind, and was a good day of distribution. Because that was a very strong impression. And I went out and distributed, woke early and could go out and distribute. Later on, when Prabhupada left, and this was a sad occasion, or when that day came, I was out distributing, I was a Sankirtan leader and phoning the temple regularly, telling the news, Sankirtan news. But then the temple president, Vedman, told me when Prabhupada had left. So, then I said, well, I suppose this is a day when, occasion when you should cry. For me, it was more a theoretical concept. Yes, the gurus left and I should cry, but maybe the feeling wasn't really there. But Prabhupada, Vegman said, well, no, I'm certainly, man is crying today, or no, so to say, I'm feeling the absence. Later on, by Prabhupada's mercy, maybe something opened my heart, and later on I could access my feeling of separation as well. At the same time, maybe the separation, the feeling of separation coming when you're actually in the meeting, because you're separated and you do things, but then at one point kind of spiritually meet or connect, and then maybe feeling the pain of the separation of working and serving in different ways in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So that way, Prabhupada was there, he gave instructions and showed his example, and to me, Prabhupada is very much present. Well, he was physically present, he was spiritually present. He may not be physically present, but he's certainly very spiritually present. And that's where I speak about the dreams. Well, sometimes Prabhupada comes in my dreams, very occasionally, but then when I hear the second generation devotees also, Prabhupada kind of in various ways shows up. And it's they feel it's significant. That's one way, but another way is how there is inspiration and momentum of the movement going on all over the world. So Prabhupada managed establish something and keep it going. And it's going. His spirit, he is here in spirit. And he is very, in one sense, inspiring us and touching our hearts even now. Even so, say it's not present, and even the generations that did not have that direct contact.
so that he's present. And there's, I don't understand. Okay, for 10,000 years, how will it happen? What is my part? Very tiny part. In Germany, 1970, when I joined on the top floor of a third floor of a storage building just behind the train track. The windows was almost falling out of the frames. And the devotees were saying, this movement is going to spread all over the world. Yes. I had some faith in the holy name. I thought, well, it will liberate me, okay. I had that strong feeling, and maybe still I'm kind of concerned mainly about my own liberation in some way. That's maybe has kept me still going. And when I said we're going to spread all over the world, I was kind of wondering how it was going to happen. But then you come back. Well, since 1970, soon it will be 40 years in my case, and then it's 32 years since Prabhupada left. But the movement has gone on, and when you travel around, yes, there is so many new things coming up. And maybe some places is kind of going back a little bit or not so progressing, but then in other places is new things and beautiful things happening. So, not because of me. In spite of me, Prabhupada's movement is bigger than me. It's very big. And maybe someone said, my prayer is Prabhupada that I will not be in the way, but in some way be of a support. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Chakshurin militam jena tasmai shri guruvena shri chaitanmano pistam stapitam jena bhutale shayam rupakada mahim tathati shubhavatikam vandeham shri guru shri tathapadakamala shri gurum vaishnavapscha shri rupam shagurvatam shaganam Shadvaitam Shadvatutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra He Krishna Kurana Sindhu Dina Vandu Vilakpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostate Tapta Kamchana Golam Giradhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Hari Priya Vansha Kopatarupyascha Kupashantopya Vachantitana Pavane Vyavashtavya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Purvittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gauri Bhakti Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama One of my favorite stories from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita concerns a journalist in the mid-1960s who got a tip that there was a Swami who had come to the New York City. It was in Bowery Loft someplace holding classes, and the informant said, I think he's about to start a new religious movement. So the journalist took the tip and went down to the place where Srila Prabhupada was staying, apparently big open space, big loft. And there were some people who were standing on their heads, and other people who were deep in meditation, and various people doing various strange things. And the fellow made his way to the back of the loft, and there, just when he parted a curtain, there was Srila Prabhupada sitting. And the man asked, should I take off my shoes? He said, it's up to you. And Prabhupada made him feel welcome. And he asked, the man asked, what are those people doing? And Srila Prabhupada said, I don't know. He said, I'm trying to teach them something, but they are not understanding. So the thought occurred to me that many of the features of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada, that we found in the inception of the Hare Krishna movement, are still with us. That Srila Prabhupada is trying to teach us something and we are not understanding it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, in his conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati, said that my spiritual master found me a great fool, Murkha. And so he said, you can't study Vedanta. You can chant Hare Krishna. You can do Sankirtan, that will be good for you. And Srila Prabhupada, in many places, comments that one should always think oneself a fool in the presence of the spiritual master. If we think that we're very intelligent, how will we be educated? How will we be reformed? And then on the other side, he didn't want us to be fools. Why should you be a fool? Someone would say, why are you doing, probably demand, why you do like that? Oh, we're just fools, Srila Prabhupada. Why you are fools? So that was also there, that although we're not able to understand everything that Srila Prabhupada taught us, we're meant to try to understand by following the process that he gave us. Even Krishna, mam duvedana kaschana, hardly anyone understands me, Krishna says. If anyone understands him, then chakradevam punarjanma naiti. He goes back to Godhead, mam iti sarva. On the one side, it's very, Prabhupada gave us the most exalted conclusions, the most exalted opportunity for the highest spiritual attainment. On the other side, he kept us focused on what we had to do to achieve that highest attainment. There are a lot of philosophies where you'll find highest attainment, but there must be some process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking with who was he talking with about this? About sadhana and sadhya.
Chandrasekhar, Kapha Mishra in Bangladesh?
Maybe. No, there was a discussion. So maybe I've forgotten. With whom was he discussing this? With the Tattvavadis or with someone else? Anyway, he cut to the quick. He got to the point. What is sadhana and what is sadhya? What is the goal of life and how do you get there? It's such a, in science, there's Occam's razor, the principle by which you try to make everything as economical as possible, get everything down to the bare, to this essence of the argument. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does that with this question, you can ask anyone, what's the goal of life and how do you get there? You know, what's your goal and what's your process? And right away, you'll find out. Usually, you'll find out that their goal is something nonsense, or that their goal is all right, but their process is ineffective or off target. But Prabhupada gave the highest goal of life, service of Krishna, especially Radha Krishna. And he gave the process in a very practical way. And especially he drummed it in. Srila Prabhupada, his teaching method, when you read his books, when you hear his lectures, when you listen to his conversations, or when you remember personal experiences, he drums it in again and again and again. Who is Krishna? What is our relationship with Krishna? How do we achieve that relationship? What is the nature of the spirit soul? What is the nature of this material world? What is the necessity of the spiritual master? What is our relationship with the spiritual master? How to execute devotional service? Or on the very basic platform, how many rounds will you chant? What are the four regulative principles? And countless letters. So see that everyone is chanting the prescribed number of rounds. See that they are following the four regulative principles. See that they are getting up early in the morning, attending some very focused on making sure that that the essential messages get through. When you read, one time Srila Prabhupada told us at a meeting of Back to Godhead editors, he said, we have got some siddhanta. And the editors have to know the siddhanta. There's some conclusions. There's some essential conclusions, you can say headlines, of Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness. And he wanted us to understand those headline points, essential points, those crucial points thoroughly. Some this detail, that detail, about so many things, he might or might not care about. He might or might not care about it. Or he might even be dismissive about the number of people that asked Srila Prabhupada why we were not supposed to wear blue or red before the deities was finally a source of exasperation to him. And the folklore is, I'm not quite sure how well attested it is, that one time he told Kirtananda Swami to dress in blue and red and go in front of the deities. They said, Prabhupada said, they will ask so many nonsense questions. How long was Putana witch? How many children did she kill? Questions that are of no consequence, not essential. But these essential, the essential message of Krishna consciousness, the essential conclusions, the essential practices, Srila Prabhupada really drives home again and again in his purports, in his conversations. So that we're, because when, if we understand those things, everything else will come. Everything else will come. Yasya devi prabhakti yata devi tata guru tasya ita tatita yarta prakashante mahatmana. If we understand the importance of devotional service to Krishna, if we understand the, not only understand theoretically, but if we develop equal devotion to the bona fide spiritual master, then everything becomes revealed. Dadami Bhuvyogam Tam Krishna will do the needful. Krishna will do the needful. If we're sincere. Sincere, we'll probably explain sincere. Sincere means that you do it. Sincere, Prabhupada didn't buy this idea of just sort of diffuse heartfelt sincerity as a sort of a disembodied feeling that one could use as a fallback position or justification for whatever one wanted to do. Well, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sincere. For Prabhupada, the sign that you were sincere was that you followed its instructions. It's practical. If you're sincere, you'll do what I say. That Prabhupada counted as sincere. We can make some marginal space there and say that Prabhupada sometimes recognized that a person was at least trying, that a person was in good faith trying to follow, even if he wasn't able to follow, and Prabhupada would appreciate that. But his usual standard was that if you're sincere, you'll do what I say. Just like Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, that after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada wanted that we should understand his message, that we should chant Hare Krishna, that we should read his books, that we should develop the qualities of genuine devotees. Amanitva dambitva himsakshantirajma charja pashanam sochamatma stairamatma vinigraha indriyarte shubhairagyam anahankara nevacha janma mrityuja abhyadi dukkha dosha nidarshana asakta anabhishvanga putridhara bihara shubh. So much of that time. Before Samajitattva, something before Samajitattva, Nityam cha Samajitattva, then Ishtanishta Upadishu, then Ananya, Maya Ichananya Yogena Bhaktya, Abhyavicharani, Vivikta Deshi Sevitam. Here, Jonathan City. Then?
Adhyatma
Gyananitya. Gyananitya Tam Gyanadar
Tatvagyanar
Tadarshana. Iti Gyanam Iti Prabhupada. Gyanam Yadatam. And this is Gyanam. These different. Prabhupada explains that Gyanam means the, or the Acharyas explain, Gyanam means the process of developing Gyanam. This is the process of developing Gyan. And Prabhupada explains that the beginning is amanitva, to be humble, or to be prideless, amani, amani na amanitva. When we become proud, then everything is ruined. We think that we know more than the spiritual master.
we think we know more than everyone else. Then everything is spoiled. Adambitvama becomes puffed up. Ahimsa, then one does violence to oneself and others. One becomes intolerant. One becomes duplicitous, dishonest, scheming and polluted. Then everything is spoiled. But by humility, by humble service, then I'm servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. The Prabhu said, the more times you have the servant, the better your position, the higher your position. Everything is there in Prabhupada's directions, and we have to pick the essential points. If we get the essential points that Prabhupada gave us and gave us again and again and again. You know, people are sometimes thinking that Prabhupada didn't give us this or he didn't give us that, or that we're missing this or we're missing that. But we're missing that within those. Why is Prabhupada banging on these points again and again? Because those are the points. From those points everything will come. From those essential instructions, everything else will be there. And if we miss those essential instructions, then whatever else we do will be ineffective. We won't get it. We may think we've got it, we may tell the world we've got it, we may wave a flag, I've got it, but we won't get it. Because one doesn't get it that way. Not by material capability, not by material proficiency or intellectual strength, certainly not by cleverness or by the ability to fool other people, not to put on a show, that doesn't do anything. But to take the orders of the spiritual master on one's head, to make the instructions of the spiritual master one's heart and soul, to honestly and humbly try to carry out the orders of the spiritual master, that will make us successful. We'll get the blessings of the spiritual master. And then everything will be achieved, not by our power, but by the power of the spiritual master, or the power coming through the spiritual master from Krishna. Things beyond our achievement will be possible. And we see that, how wonderful things happen in Krishna consciousness when a person sincerely takes the instruction, tries to do something under the guidance, under the order of higher authority, then wonderful things become possible. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. And if we go the other way, we try to do something on our own authority, on our own speculative concoction, do things against the order of the spiritual master, contrary to the desire of the spiritual master, then nagatiya katopi, then we're nowhere. Utpataya gopi, then we're just a disturbance. Probably, what is that? The fly sitting on the king. He's so near the throne that he's just a disturbance. So we don't want to be a disturbance to the spiritual master. We want to be genuine servants by remaining fools. But the kind of fool that says, I'm a fool,
And therefore I have to take instructions from the more intelligent person. Not, I'm more intelligent, so I know what I'm doing. He's a fool. But the person who takes it, I'm a fool. And therefore I require to be guided by the intelligent. He's actually intelligent. He's actually intelligent. He knows. He has he's got real knowledge. I'm a fool. And because I'm a fool, I need to be dependent on guidance from someone who's not a fool. Then everything is successful. That kind of fool. That kind of fool. Or the humble servant of the Guru and Gauranga, Guru and Krishna. He may be, the world may consider him a fool. He's given up such possibilities, or he's given up what's valuable. Or he's frustrated, he has nothing together in the material world, whatever reason. So he's taken to this Krishna consciousness movement. In spite of everything, he's taken to this Krishna consciousness movement. What a fool he is. But we think they're fools. Prabhupada pointed that out. They think we're crazy, we think they're crazy. We want to be like that, dependent on the mercy of Krishna, dependent on the holy name of Krishna, compliant. There's a word someplace Prabhupada uses in just talking about the Pandavas, malleable. The malleable sons of Pandu. Malleable means you can bend it to whatever shape you want. That's malleable. Gold, if it's malleable, you can mold it into any form. But we should be malleable to the spiritual master. He can, whatever he wants to do with us, you want to send me to heaven, you want to send me to hell, you want me to accept it, you want me to reject it, whatever you want me to do. Not that I have my own will, I have my own determination, I've got my own agenda. But whatever my spiritual master wants to do with me. Well, Srila Prabhupada taught us that and he showed us that. That he was always thinking about what his spiritual master wanted. And Vaisheshi Kapu was saying yesterday, books, that my spiritual master said books. And then, what's the use of this thing? But my spiritual master said books. It doesn't matter what you think about it, whether it works, whether it doesn't work, whether it's a good scheme, whether it's a bad scheme. My spiritual master said books. End of story. Well, what my spiritual master said, that's the end of the story. So there's so many things, by the grace of Krishna, so many devotees have understood so nicely, so much that Srila Prabhupada has taught. And there's more to be understood, more to be disclosed in the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, how to carry out Srila Prabhupada's instructions. That will be revealed successively. Not that everything is seen in one generation. In one generation we get it all, we figure it all out, we do it all. We accomplish everything and then we hand it on to the next generation. That's something we'll try to do while we're still on the scene. And we'll depend on Krishna to reveal more to those who sincerely follow the process. They'll expand the Krishna consciousness movement. They'll dedicate themselves to understanding what Srila Prabhupada wanted, what their spiritual masters have conveyed to them about Prabhupada's message. And things will increase. They'll have realizations that we don't have. They'll have experiences or inspirations or successes. There'll be more.
It's not static, it's not that Acharya dies and then it's, you know, all downhill from there. That's the material conception of life. The spirit, Prabhupada said, I'll live forever through my books. Through his books and through his sincere followers, Prabhupada will live forever. Oh, and the follower lives with him. Srila Prabhupada lives forever, and his followers will live with him.
I'd just like to thank Chad very much for a very wonderful little talk. It's very inspirational. Hare Krishna, my beloved Srila Prabhupada. Glories to you by the personification of Jananda Ram's loving compassion and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching genius. There are many fools, and let's say you didn't give everything. The more unfortunate fool is the one who believes it. The reality is, if we have even ABC of Guru Tattva, we have a half a brain, and we actually read the books, we know that Prabhupada has actually given us more than we can read, understand, and realize in many, many lifetimes. This is the reality. So the question is not whether Prabhupada has given us everything or hasn't given us everything. The more pertinent question is, or questions are, do I know what Prabhupada has given? Do I read his books? Do I believe what I read? And thirdly, and most importantly, do I live what I believe and read? So this is the more essential thing. And Prabhupada, in fact, has given us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's given us an ocean. But if you're in the illusion that it's a mirage in a desert, what is the value of that ocean? There's no value to it. We pedigree Kali Yugians have come to the conclusion that actually we don't even need the ocean that Prabhupada has given us. We only need a few drops. We only need a few drops and everything will come. I would like to read you some things from, actually I wasn't thinking I was going to be speaking, they were just personal meditations that I was going to do today myself, but I'll share them with you. I'd like to read something from Prabhupada about three drops from that ocean that are enough to give us Braj Prem, bring us into his eternal association again. And perhaps we might like to do a little exercise where we ask ourselves the three questions. Did I know Prabhupada said this? Do I believe what I'm reading, what I'm hearing now? And am I living it? If we are, everything is wonderful. The three drops that I would like to look at wonderful, wonderful drops. Taking only prasad. Bhagavad Gita can give you everything. Bhagavad Gita alone can give you everything. And the other thing was the holy name. So the first two readings that I'd like to do, both on prasad and on Bhagavad Gita, is from Bhagavad Gita. This is from chapter 3, text 14, Purport, where Prabhupada speaks very lucidly about the importance of taking only prasad. He mentions this in all of his books, especially C.C. Bhagavatam, that the actual perfected soul, the Vaishnava, only takes prasad. In C.C. he even says that one who is actually attached to the lotus feet of Krishna will not eat anything that's not offered to him. But this is a very beautiful purport that Prabhupada has given. Let's just have a look and see what we feel about it. The devotees of the Lord who are in Krishna consciousness offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. When there is an academic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects the person from the attack of such an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection. And one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only food offered to Krishna can counteract all the reactions of past material infections which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of sinful reaction, and this prepares the next body to resemble dogs and hogs, to suffer the resultant reaction of all sins. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Vishnu, is saved from the attack, whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination. Very powerful purport, just one little drop from the ocean. The next one that I'd like to read you is about the potency of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, Baladeva Jibhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti, so many acharyas in our line have spoken about its potency. Is spoken not by Vasudev but by Govindadev. He is the Abhidaya Acharya, so it's obvious it's going to be a very powerful book. But what is very, very wonderful is that in the last purport to this chapter, Prabhupada, he tells us, one of the most beautiful things I find with Prabhupada's books is that he doesn't use the terminology of our Acharyas, our Vishwanath, and like that, but he gives the concepts. So those who know, for example, this is very much in line with Madhurya Kadambini. Those who know the Acharya's books, they will get great pleasure from seeing Prabhupada churning it like this, not giving the words, but giving the concepts. And those who don't, the newcomers, they will get great joy from seeing the positive way in which Prabhupada is speaking. So this here, Prabhupada is actually saying that the journey from Shraddha to Golok Prem can be walked just by studying Bhagavad Gita. This is from chapter 8, 28, purport, last half of the last paragraph. One should hear the Gita from the devotee, because at the beginning of the fourth chapter, it is stated that the Gita can only be perfectly understood by devotees. Hearing the Gita from devotees, not from mental speculators, is called faith. Through association of devotees, one is placed in devotional service. And by this service, Krishna's activities, form, pastimes, name, etc., become clear, and all misgivings are dispelled. Then, once doubts are removed, the study of the Gita becomes extremely pleasurable, and one develops a taste and feeling for Krishna consciousness. In the advanced stage, one falls completely in love with Krishna, and that is the beginning of the highest perfectional stage of life, which prepares the devotee's transfer to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan, where the devotee enters into eternal happiness. Very powerful statement. Third drop that we'd like to share with you today from this wonderful ocean that Prabhupada has given us is his purport on the holy name. Actually, this is worth meditating on daily. My personal experience is that to read this daily before chanting opens up a whole new vision, both of Prabhupada's concept of preaching as well as practice of chanting the holy name. The transcendental vibration established by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is a sublime method of reviving our Krishna consciousness. As living spirit souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by the material atmosphere. The material atmosphere in which we are now living is called Maya, or illusion. Maya means that which is not. And what is this illusion? The illusion is that we are all trying to be lords of material nature, while actually we are under the grip of her stringent laws. When a servant artificially tries to imitate the all-powerful master, this is called illusion. In this polluted concept of life, we are all trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we are becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. Therefore, although we are engaged in a hard struggle to conquer nature, we are ever more dependent on her. This illusory struggle against material nature can be stopped at once by revival of our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original energy of the living entity. When we hear the transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived, and this process is recommended for this age by authorities. By practical experience also, one can perceive that by chanting this Maha Mantra, or the great chant for deliverance, one can at once feel a transcendental ecstasy coming through from the spiritual stratum. And when one is factually on the plane of spiritual understanding, surpassing the stages of senses, mind, and intelligence, one is situated on the transcendental plane. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is directly enacted from the spiritual platform. And thus this sound vibration surpasses all lower strata of consciousness, namely sensual, mental, and intellectual. There is no need, therefore, to understand the language of the mantra, nor is there any need for mental speculation or any intellectual adjustment for chanting this Maha Mantra. It springs automatically from the spiritual platform, and as such, anyone can take part in the chanting without any previous qualification and dance in ecstasy. We have seen this practically. Even a child can take part in the chanting, or even a dog can take part in it. Of course, for one who is too entangled in material life, it takes a little more time to come to the standard point. But even such a materially engrossed man is raised to the spiritual platform very quickly. When the mantra is chanted by a pure devotee of the Lord in love, it has the greatest efficacy on the hearers. And as such, this chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord so that immediate effects can be achieved. As far as possible, chanting from the lips of non-devotees should be avoided. Milk touched by the lips of a servant has poisonous effects. The word Hara is the form of addressing the energy of the Lord. and the words Krishna and Rama are forms of addressing the Lord himself. Both Krishna and Ram mean the supreme pleasure, and Hara is the supreme pleasure energy of the Lord, changed to Hare in the vocative. The supreme pleasure energy of the Lord helps us to reach the Lord. The material energy called Maya is also one of the multi-energies of the Lord, and we, the living entities, are also the energy, marginal energy, of the Lord. The living entities are described as superior to material energy. When the superior energy is in contact with the inferior energy, an incompatible situation arises. But when that superior marginal energy is in contact with the superior energy called Hara, the living entity is established in his happy, normal condition. These three words, namely Hare, Krishna, and Ram, are the transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his internal energy, Hara, to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Mother Hara helps the devotee achieve the grace of the Supreme Father, Hari or Krishna. And the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants this mantra sincerely. No other means of spiritual realization, therefore, is as effective in this age as chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojan Param Guru, and a primary work of his is called Manasiksha, Teachings to the Mind. In reality, we have only one choice to make. Will I follow the mind or will I follow the guru? So these teachings of his are very essential. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagadharma explains that Manasiksha is actually the parati, or the process of bhajan, for the Gaudiyas. So it's very interesting that when we look at the first verse of this instruction to the mind, he says, oh my dear mind, I touch your feet and I beg you with sweet words, please give up all false pride and develop unprecedented love for your Gurudev, for my Gurudev. And he goes on to list seven other things. But the key is there. If we want Nam Nista, if we want to be successful as a preacher, we have to have Guru Nista. And Prabhupada is the Param Siksha Guru of all of us. We have to have Nista for Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Taksurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manumapi Sachi Putram Atra Sarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Uruparim Matara Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Patita Kripaya Tamnatosti Namaste Gurudevaya Sarva Siddhi Padayane Sarva Mangala Rupaya Sarvananda Padayane Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu paevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First, I'd like to express my appreciation for the qualities, the quality of offerings that is coming from the devotees' hearts, both their remembrances of Srila Prabhupada and their instructions. And especially we're hearing directly the words of Srila Prabhupada. It's very, very enlivening. It's creating a very wonderful atmosphere, and it's continuing the mood of the ashram this month as the devotees are meeting for sangha, for association, hours and hours a day, based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings and just reading and reading Bhagavad Gita and appreciating Bhagavad Gita and the depth of it, but also Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books, and experiencing directly what Srila Prabhupada gave and the uplifting effect it has on the consciousness by his mercy. It works. You just have to do it. So, offerings have all been wonderful. Last night, after the Sangha, Vaisheshika Prabhu asked, maybe there's 15, 16 devotees, just say something about Srila Prabhupada very briefly. And the realizations of people who are in the next generation were just as powerful as the ones who were directly with Prabhupada. And that's Prabhupada's mercy, that those the disciplic succession is carrying on. But I especially liked what Jayadvaita Swami shared, and I'll repeat it and speak something about it, and then something about something else. Jayadvaita Maharaj said, I just want to repeat something that Prabhupada said. I hate bureaucracy. Because all they do is say no. And I thought that's such a wonderful glorification of Prabhupada, because generally you want to do something and you want to offer some service, and people have less faith in you than you have in yourself. And with Prabhupada, he offered us things beyond what we thought we could do, and saw it in us, and encouraged us. And I think it's such a wonderful quality of Srila Prabhupada. That's his faith in Krishna also, that he was empowering. And he would give devotees challenges beyond themselves, beyond their own capabilities. I always remember the story, I think Guru Kripa told me, I think he was 21 when he took sannyas or something with Yasodhanandana Swami, and they wanted to go to South India and conquer all the different darshans. So they met the page of a Swami, the Madhvaracharya, and Guru Kripa looked at him and challenged, Yasodhananda looked at him and challenged him in his French-Canadian accent, "What are the three aspects of the absolute truth?" Of course, but the main thing is that Prabhupada was impacted. Despite, yes, there's an institution, and there are certain parameters and boundaries that people have to come, that have to, but that wasn't the first thing you got. That came in the package, but before that came, this is what you could do, and here's the facility to do it. And Chai Dwaitamarj, our editor, of, I'm not sure, did you graduate high school? He's not even a high school graduate. But Prabhupada, no, you can't edit. You don't have a degree. Or you can't do this. You're not a Prabhupada disciple. Or you can't do this. You're a woman. Or you can't do this. Or no, you know, do it within these boundaries. And he had faith in people, and he brought out that faith. And I thought I can do two things, a little bit visualization. Maybe we can ourselves remember a particular pastime of Prabhupada or something, of giving someone something beyond. Your wife mentioned yesterday, you know, the CC. You know, these are big managers who thought they can conquer the world. Prabhupada said, okay, you think you can conquer the world? You think you're intelligent? Okay, I want to let the CC do it. How much? 2 months?
17 books.
17 books, 2 months. You know, just to see how proper. I'm just thinking, maybe someone else can think, Burijan Prabhu, what is it, 1920, go to China? He sent them to China? You know, and now we have people that are, you know, 50 or 60 years old, and, you know, 60 years old, they want to take sannyas, put them on a 5-year waiting list. Person says, I'm going to die. I want a sannyas. So, anybody think of just any else? Remember, you know, just that type of thing, opening up temples and Vaisheshika.
Well, this isn't about a specific thing, but Hansaduda once said that when they were riding with Prabhupada in a train, were conscious not to glorify the city they stopped in because they were afraid Prabhupada said, okay, you get off here and start a center. But that tension was in the atmosphere, that if you said something, Prabhupada might say, okay, that's your program now.
Right. So anyway, I just appreciate the concept of empowerment. And how Prabhupada would empower people, and we can all remember that, you know. Never thought, I can do more. That concept wasn't prevalent in Prabhupada's time, because you were given challenges, and it's just wonderful, just empowerment. See someone's abilities, that's what a leader is, facilitate it. Then set the parameters, don't put them first. Well, if you want to do this, you can't go here, you can't go here, don't do it here, whereas. Okay, that's first appreciation of Prabhupada. The second would be, it's also kind of a visualization that we could do, because this is the where Sanatana Goswami wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, probably. Did he? At one of his places. At least it was translated here. at his bhajan kutir, right near there. So this is very much a place, and I was here when the editing was going on in the discussion. So the story is very nice. Narada Muni is looking for the topmost devotee, and he's enthusiastic, and we get this vision through his eyes of these topmost devotees, what they're doing. And we also get the description of those devotees through the person who pointed Narada Muni there. And then we see the devotee and his response. So I thought an interesting kind of visualization is that we could visualize Narada Muni being pointed to Prabhupada, and where he would go and what he would see. I mean, I just gave a personal one myself, you know. Used to live in the guest house in 1970, 75 on the top floor, wake up, look out the window, 2 o'clock in the morning, Prabhupada's on his porch, translating transcendental literature. How excited Narada Muni would be to see that, you know, all the books of, we were in Tharkadamba years ago, and you were mentioning how pleased Rupa Goswami would be. You know, he's just sitting here in the middle of the forest. If he knew that his books would be translated and spread, he's reading the books so they'll be read. How pleased he would be. You made that comment, right? If he knew, wow, they'll go all over the world in all different languages. And just a personal, I could see Narada Muni. I was in, I think, Golden Gate Park in 1972, famous Rath Yatra, and Prabhupada, the carts kind of came right to the stage, and then Prabhupada got off, the Rath cart, he's right on the stage, and then Prabhupada it's a famous picture, it's in the Samadhi, the bas relief, the picture's also in Keshavarti's room. Prabhupada has a white sweater and a red rose garland, and then Prabhupada is, his hands raised and dancing, and all his devotees in kirtan, and there's 10,000 people in that field, you know. So imagine if Narada Muni came in. It'd be a nice place for him to come in because no one would notice at that time, 1970, San Francisco. Narada Muni just comes in, looking for the topmost devotee and sees Prabhupada. He heard about Prabhupada. You can imagine the devotees before. He could have went to someone else in the disciplic succession because they're all humble. I mean, could have went to anyone. They said, I'm not a devotee. You want to see a devotee? You go see Bhaktivedanta Swami. He's preaching all over the world. And look at all the people that he's converting. And I remember in that, then Prabhupada's giving a speech, and it was in a meadow, and then there were trees and speakers behind. It was quite spectacular. I wasn't joined then, and I was in the audience. And then Prabhupada talked. It was so nice. It was because it was the time where everybody was. It was a liberation for everybody. There's all kinds of liberation movement, from Chicano liberation to grape growers liberation to gay liberation, women's liberation. There's liberation movement, to liberate someone. And so Prabhupada just, gave a statement and said, he was talking about liberation, and he said, this is the movement of the living entity. So he included liberation for everyone. So spectacular if Narada Muni came. Maybe just one other person, maybe a vision you had of seeing Prabhupada that you'd like, that Narada Muni could come in and... Or even now, Narada Muni would be excited to see Prabhupada's disciples who have spread Krishna consciousness. Devamrita Swami said he wanted to write a book on the Ukrainian festival. 5,000 people. Would Narada Muni be excited for that? Again, the concept that Prabhupada is so powerful that the disciplic succession carries on. There's potency, there's Shakti. So it's that vision is there. And then there would be the reaction of Prabhupada. When Narada Muni would be saying, you're the topmost, he'd be enthusiastic like he was with Hanuman when they were Hanuman jumping and dancing together, and anybody else that he saw. And when he went to see Yudhisthira, what was Yudhisthira doing? Yudhisthira was in a meeting. What was the subject of the meeting? The subject of the meeting is how we can fake a calamity so maybe Krishna could come. They're having a meeting. And then, the scene, and then Narada gets up to offer him a puja. He gets to offer him something, and Yudhisthira, Narada, grabs it from him. The whole concept of Vaishnava does it. And that's also glorification of Prabhupada, because generally you see there are so many gurus and people and things, and the name is the movement is always about them. But Prabhupada is what, the back to Godhead? Prabhupada's always pointing to Krishna. Prabhupada just wants you to stand next to him so you could look in the same direction. He's not wanting you to look at him. And therefore, the movement wasn't about him. The movement was about Krishna. And because he glorified Krishna, the movement was about him. Because he was the one that was inspiring everyone. Even I went to South India in 1978, traveling and preaching in South India. In every place we went, no one said, I heard of your Bhakti Danta Swami. They said, I have heard of your Achyutananda Swami. he was preaching, and he was given the message. And empowerment, even then people were rising. So what would Prabhupada's reaction be? And like every other acharya, every other person that's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Prabhupada cannot identify that I am great, I am in the center, because that's not where Tattva Darshan is. One who sees the truth sees that he's an object of Krishna's pleasure. That's right out of the center. I am the servant. They see the truth, so they're the servant. So they never, someone says, you're in the center. Why? They see someone else in the center, and they're on the periphery and in service. So Prabhupada would never say, oh yes, I am great. And one of my favorite stories in that, but just like what Smita Krishna Maharaj said about, I heard that lecture on tape, and it was great because Prabhupada was talking to Brahmins. We need first class men, we need first class men, we need first class men, first class men. And then someone asked him that trick question, well, what class are you, Swami? And then Prabhupada said, I am fifth class, I serve the other four classes. It's not artificial, he doesn't have to think. He feels that way because he sees the truth. I thought another skill, I think it was Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you should be the king of the world. And Prabhupada said, you manage, I'll advise. A favorite one of mine, I think I heard Trivikram Swami tell that one, that Prabhupada perhaps, maybe it was that story that Gaurijan told, he's there where he really was destroyed a Mayavadi, really couldn't tolerate it. And then later Trivikram Swami said he was massaging Prabhupada's shoulders. And you look at everything according to your own frame of reference and experience. So I think he said, like, he closed his eyes and he imagined it was like a boxing ring. And it was after the round, and Prabhupada was sitting on the stool and he just knocked the guy out or something, so he's massaging Prabhupada. And then he just couldn't contain his ecstasy. And he said, Prabhupada, you're the greatest. And then Prabhupada said, no, I'm just a servant. So we're fortunate, and that fortune continues. Jiva Goswami said, it's somewhere in the Bhakti Sandarbha, that you really should not look at great personalities as historical. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he reasons ill, who say that Vaishnavas die. We don't look at Krishna as historical. His eternal associates are not historical. They're present. And the mercy through them flows, as the theme is going, to those people who take up the mission, hear the instructions, are sincere, follow those instructions, are humble enough to give up their attachments, to do so without pride, whose life is not focused on their desire, but their life is focused on his desire. And it's very, very powerful, and I'll offer a prayer to Srila Prabhupada that I could move out of the center. I'm not in the center, but I look at the world that way. And I could move out of the center and get some vision of being a devotee and being Prabhupada's servant. And therefore, feeling that happiness spiritually, which comes from that sense of devotion and love that can only be attained in that position. So Prabhupada's gracing us all. He's here. Last year when Srimati came, or was it the year before, I kind of looked at her surprised. I said, "What are you doing here?" Because she came from Vrindavan. And I said, that's Prabhupada's place where he disappeared. And she said, "Well, that may be the place Prabhupada disappeared, but this is the place he eternally resides." So this is a very wonderful function, which I have this selfish desire that it doesn't become too popular, because it's so nice here. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
We need everyone to move up by 4.3 inches, because there's more devotees in the back who can't fit in the furniture.
Jnanatamirandasyam jnananangana shalakaya chaksurun militam jena tasmai sri garave nama sri chaitanamano vistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati savarandiyam adadanas jnanandante vidamya che puna puna simar rupa padam bhujo dhulisyam janma janmani jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srimasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Suvishya Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Pratitanam Bhavanibhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo
So I still feel like Smita Krishna Maharaj has said that I think it's so much direct personal association with Srila Prabhupada. We know Srila Prabhupada through Prabhupada's disciples. So somehow I've just made myself into a pot to collect all of those wonderful recollections that people have told me. And I got a new one last night that, just like Jai Advaita was saying, I'm trying to teach them, but they're not understanding. So last night, Lakshmimoni was telling us how she was signed to go to Dallas, that's where they were opening up the school, and she was also going to be part of the Pujari department. So she decided, all right, let's check out the Pujari department. She went in and started opening up everything and looking, and all of a sudden she found this little box. And she opened up this box, and there's these very ornate conch shell eyes. So she asked me, "What is this?" Oh, Prabhupada said that when we install, you know, when we install Kala Chanji, that he wants these, he wants him to have these conch shell eyes. So, well, why didn't you put them? So we thought they looked sort of strange. So that didn't compute in her brain. Prabhupada wanted these conch shell eyes, and you thought they'd look strange. Didn't compute. So she just went straight up to Prabhupada's quarters, just walked right in. Prabhupada was sitting around with several other devotees, and when she got the chance, she said, Prabhupada, I heard that you wanted that the deities should have these conch shell eyes, and if you want, I can put them on the deities. Prabhupada said, Kalachanji's eyes are all right the way they are. So she thought, well, he didn't understand the question. So, well, I was going through stuff in the DD department. I found this little box, and they told me that you had instructed that these eyes should be put on Kalachanji. So if you want, I can put them there. Prabhupada said, Kalachanji's eyes are fine just the way they are. So being, as she described, a very stubborn New Yorker. So, but Srila Prabhupada, I heard that you wanted, Prabhupada said, I'm Prabhupada, I'm telling Kala Chanji's eyes are okay the way they are. And Dhananjaya Swami is talking about empowerment. So I was remembering, several Kartiks ago, Chamsundar personally told me this story, but I've never really heard it anywhere else. But anyway, he personally told me this story that that they were in London and the manuscript for Krishna book came. This is, we're talking, everybody's talking about Prabhupada's book, so this is to bring that in also. So he said, so the manuscript for Krishna book came and Prabhupada was very excited. And he said, how much will it cost? He said, Prabhupada, it will be $20,000. Now this is way, way back in, you know, 69 or 70 maybe. It must be 70. $20,000 was a lot of money. Now it's just pocket change, but those days $20,000 was a lot of money. So everybody was just looking around. So Prabhupada looked at Chamsundar, he said, so why don't you ask George Harrison to pay for it? And Chamsundar, but Prabhupada, you don't understand. That's not my relationship with him. Whatever service he's been doing, you know, he gave the wood for Bury Place, you know, he made the floor, everything, that's just, he volunteered. I don't ask him for anything. That's not my relationship with him. So, no, you can ask him. But Prabhupada, that will destroy my whole relationship. I never ask him, you know, now, tomorrow we're going to look for the marble for the altar, you know. He volunteered. I never ask him for anything. If I ask him, then our whole relationship is finished. So Prabhupada, no, you can ask him. But Prabhupada, you don't understand. He said, Prabhupada, no, you ask him. Krishna will help you.
Krishna will help you. Huh? George is a good boy. George is a good boy.
Yeah, he's like, all right, maybe that's part of it. Anyway, so the next day they went with some, he told the name, I can't remember, some famous sculptor from London who was to help them pick out the marble and make the design and everything. So they went to all the marble places, they found the marble, they gave the design, they gave the deposit, you know, he still hadn't asked the question. So then they went back to George Harrison's house. And then they were having, you know, there was some vegetarian dinner. They're all sitting around taking dinner, and he still couldn't find a way to ask the question. So then after dinner, they all went into the drawing room. Now, I guess this is something you have in England, because we don't have drawing rooms in America, and you don't draw in them. I don't know what a drawing room is. But anyway, they went into the drawing room, whatever that is. And he realized, after this, everybody goes home, and I haven't asked the question yet. He said, what am I going to do, you know? So there was some small talk was going on. Finally, there was a lull in the conversation. So Chamsundar said, then Chamsundar got the, oh, now I'm going to make Prabhupada the bad guy. He got the bright idea, I'll make Prabhupada the bad guy. So he said, oh, George, the manuscript for Krishna book has arrived. And George said, yes. Yes, and Prabhupada asked me to ask you, he made Prabhupada the bad guy. Prabhupada asked me to ask you if you could pay for the printing. And he saw this grimace on George Harrison's face. And how much will it cost? Chamsa said, well, about $20,000. And he saw another grimace, and he said, this is it. Now our relation's finished. I'm just like everybody else. I'm just after his money. Everything is finished. It's all over. At that moment, the lightning must have struck directly on the house, because the flash and the thunder was practically simultaneous. And the whole house was shaking, and blam! And all the gradually blink, 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 the lights blinked out. Everything's dark. The, you know, it's an old English house, so the windows are loose, so they're rattling in their settings, you know. Everything's black. And George and Sam said, this, now it's finished. It's all over. I ruined the whole relationship. Just sitting in silence, waiting, you know. Then all of a sudden, blink, 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 the lights came on. And George had a big smile on his face. He said, well, after that, how can I refuse? Thus we got Krishna book. Prabhupada says, Krishna will help you. So then, I'll add one of my own personal, before I get to another one. Because Smita Krishna was talking about Prabhupada caring and how wonderful, you know, Prabhupada was so personal. Because I joined in Boulder, Colorado, then they sent me to LA to get trained up, then they sent me back to Boulder. So then in January of 1970, they sent me out to LA to get initiated. Because I went to LA, Prabhupada gone, he was in London. Probably where all these things were happening. So at that time, we were in the La Cienega temple, not in the Vatseka temple yet. Later that year, they moved. So that was a big church, and there wasn't any place for Prabhupada to stay. So he was staying in some house nearby, and he would come in the morning, you know, greet the deities, give class, and then, you know, and then after class, I remember after class, it was always kirtan. We don't do that anymore, but anyway, after class, we'd have kirtan. So then he would go back to his house, and nobody would see him till the next morning. And we arrived, you know, it was afternoon when we arrived, so I wasn't going to see Prabhupada till the next day. This is the first meeting of Sri Prabhupada. So I guess it must have been a Saturday night, because we all went down to Hollywood Boulevard to do Harinam in front of a place called Diamond Gyms, because the sidewalk was very wide there. Because in America, if your religion is to chant on the street, the police can't stop you. But if you block traffic, then they'll get you on that one. So the sidewalk was very wide, and we could push people into that space and keep this traffic flow going. So the police were happy, we were happy, only Diamond Gyms was unhappy. So, and Vishnu John was there, you know, playing the mridanga. He had tiles, not just tape, but he had tiles taped under the tape on his fingers all day, all morning. He would be downtown in front of Buffum's chanting, and then in the night on Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood Boulevard. And he had these tiles, and he had us in the shape of a half moon. He said, just like the eye of Krishna. You know, the men on either side and the women in the center, so they were protected. We'd be chanting like this. Now, Vishnu John is looking down the street. He can see the street, he can see the sidewalk. And we had our Hollywood Boulevard melody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Vishnu John would chant at a furious pace. He said, we don't want any gaps for Maya to come. Somebody, who was that, was saying that, you know, Krishna and Maya's on the backside of Krishna. You don't have to go looking for Maya. He's on the backside of Krishna. So Vishnu John was chanting away. We were all dancing. All of a sudden, Vishnu John's eyes became as big as saucers. And he said, Prabhupada, and just hit the ground. Now, we couldn't imagine what had happened, because we were looking straight ahead. We could see the sidewalk in Diamond Gyms, but we couldn't see behind us. So there must be something happening behind us. And we turned around, and it was like a little midi-sized car, like a Ford Pinto or something, if anybody remembers those. Now you can know how old we are. But Prabhupada was there. Just somehow or other, that night, he decided he wanted to go see the devotees spreading Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement in this hellish place, Hollywood Boulevard. And Prabhupada had come, and we turned around, and there in this Ford Pinto, Prabhupada's hand in his bead bag, he was making pranams to us. We just turned around and we looked and we saw Prabhupada. We wanted to like peel up the sidewalk and crawl underneath, you know. I mean, we were the type of people we were, you know, that the pure devotee of the Lord was making pranams to us. We won't go into detail of what type of people we were. But Prabhupada was so grateful that in this hellish place, we were trying to push on Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. He was making pranams. We all just hit the floor, but we wanted to pull at the sidewalk and crawl underneath. We were totally embarrassed. So everybody's been talking about the books and Gopi Pranajan was saying how Prabhupada came from the spiritual world. This brings both of all of these concepts together. This is a story I just heard because I was in the Russian festival this year in the Black Sea, that was on some other sea, but anyway, near the Black Sea. But I came back, they took me to Red Square because I always wanted to see that's a place of pilgrimage because Prabhupada went there. So, and that is an amazing place. Have you been there? Just to see that, just imagine what they felt after they made this thing and they looked at it, you know, wow. There was breaking out, you know, of all bounds. That's just an amazing thing. So anyway, I came back and the devotee said, you want to see Bhavananda? So I thought maybe some Russian devotee wants to speak to me. And I said, well, what does he want to see? He said, do you want to see Bhavananda? I said, I know many Bhavanandas. Which Bhavananda? He said, the one that made you a devotee. I said, what? He's here? He said, yeah, he's in the other room. I said, Ben, take me there, because he was the one, he was my Bartman of Pradaksha Guru. He preached to me perfectly. He shaved me up. He made me a devotee. So I went there, you know, saw Bhavananda, and he was talking, and he told this most amazing story. That it must be 75, and he was in the States, and they had got a party together to go around and collect for Mayapur. And they just bought a van, and they got some brahmacharis, and they're going to collect and send money to Mayapur. But Prabhupada came to L.A., so from San Francisco, he drove down to L.A., because they'd just driven down. They were really tired. Everybody else went on Harinam, but he was really tired in his party, so they stayed back. And he had an apartment directly across the street from Prabhupada's. And he was just on the balcony, just saying, I wish I could go see Prabhupada. And all of a sudden, Pindra came out onto the street. He looked up and saw Bhavananda and said, oh, Prabhupada wants to see you. Come immediately. You know? So he comes dashing down. He dashes upstairs, and Prabhupada wanted a full report on Mayapur, what was going on in Mayapur. The Mayapur project was studied with full report. Then Prabhupada said, just see this letter. So-and-so had sent him a letter that I want to read this book and I want to read that book. He wanted permission to read this book and that book and Bhaktisiddhanta's, you know, treatise on Brahma Samhita, which, you know, I have a pretty good vocabulary, I think, anyway. But I need a dictionary to read Bhaktisiddhanta stuff. And Prabhupada said, just see, they want to read all these different books. He says, actually, Prabhupada said, I was just thinking, what is the difference between me and the six Goswamis? The six Goswamis were chanting Hare Krishna. I am chanting Hare Krishna. The six Goswamis had their books. I have got my books. The six Goswamis, they were staying under another tree one night, another tree another night. And I'm staying in one palace one night and staying in another palace another night. He said, just see how Krishna is taking care of me. He's given me palaces all over the world. Because when I was there in the spiritual world with Krishna, and Bhavananda just... He never heard Prabhupada talk about being in the spiritual world with Krishna. He just froze. Krishna told me, you have to go there and write those books. I said, no, Krishna, it is a horrible place. Prabhupada never say horrible. He said, horrible. It is a horrible place. Krishna said, no, no, you must go there and write those books. He said, no, but Krishna, it is a horrible place. I don't want to go. So Krishna said, no, you must go there and write those books. He said, no, Krishna, it is a horrible place. How will I maintain myself? What will I do there? Krishna said, you just go there and write those books. I will take care of you. And see how Krishna is, I'm writing those books, and see how Krishna is taking care of me. So we don't have, these books were ordered by Krishna, you know. They're so special. So as Dhanadhar Swami was saying, you know, we wake up, look out and see Prabhupada. I give my own personal, I give everybody else's, like my own little personal. See Prabhupada, 2 o'clock in the morning, we were all usually sound asleep, Prabhupada is writing those books. And some of us, especially the younger, I mean, we're all lamenting. We didn't get so much personal association with Srila Prabhupada. You're lamenting from the secondary, we didn't get any personal association with Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, these purports are my personal ecstasies. Is there anything more personal than that? And that association, as Dhanadhar Swami saw, nobody was there. Prabhupada was there with his dictaphone. You may have been a big GBC, or you may have been a sannyasi or temple president. Nobody was there when Prabhupada was dictating these purports. So nobody got that association. But that is the most personal ecstasy. What more personal do you want? You just crack open any one of Prabhupada's books, you will get the most personal association that no GBC, temple president, sannyasi, nobody got. But today it's available to you. Just crack open one of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pastatya Deshitarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think that if I had been asked to speak when I just came in the room, I wouldn't know what to say. But I feel somehow connected, enlivened by my God brother's presentations, God sister's presentation. And also, I'm more aware of the general theme that is being presented. You know. I have no nectarian personal exchanges with Srila Prabhupada. I was there when Narada Muni came flying past in 1976 and the Rath Yatra Festival down Fifth Avenue. But I was walking uptown for the free Bob Marley concert. And the Rath carts were starting to roll, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the first cart. So I recognized, oh, yes, he is the leader of the Hare Krishna movement. He is the guru. So 1 month later, I joined the temple somehow or other. And began to distribute books on the Radha Damodar bus party. And That was, I think, our only connection with Prabhupada was by distributing his books. But also at that time, the only thing that devotees would speak about after the Sunday feast or when they had a time in the ashram, different pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, Prabhupada was here, Prabhupada was there. And that was about the only thing that we spoke about, how to distribute books and where Prabhupada was and what was he saying. Somehow Prabhupada has guided me throughout the years, as he has guided all of you also. And he is present in his books. You can ask any group of devotees at any time, at any country in the world, that if they have some problem, they have some doubts or question, if they open the book, somehow the answer is right there where they open the book. And all of 80 or 90% of devotees will raise their hand, yes, this is true. So the Bhagavatam is living. And as Bhavananda Prabhu heard, yes, Prabhupada was sent for that purpose. But just taking it one step further, in Bombay, two devotees were sent out daily to meet lawyers, to go to various government offices, to receive various papers during the litigation in Bombay, Jugu Beach. That was Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhagavat Das. And every afternoon when they finished their service, they would come back and they would make a report. They would go to Prabhupada's room and bow down, and Prabhupada would say, "So, what have you done today?" And they would say, "We met this minister, he gave us his papers, or we made a life member." "Oh, very good, very good." Next day, he would come again every afternoon and offer their obeisances. Prabhupada said, "So, what have you done today?" "Oh, we went to the various offices and we cleared this problem." "Oh, very good, very good." So one day, the devotees came to Prabhupada's room, but they saw inside the room there were a group of Indian gentlemen. Prabhupada was preaching to them. And so Bhagavat Das looked in and he began to retract and move back. Prabhupada said, "Wait, come in and sit down." Bhagavat said, "But Prabhupada, you're busy, you're with your guests." Prabhupada said, "Come in and sit down." "Okay, okay." So they came in, they sat down. Prabhupada was preaching to this Indian gentleman from Bhagavad Gita's court some certain verses. After a few minutes, the gentleman offered pranam and they left. Prabhupada turned to his two disciples and he said, "If you don't listen to me preach, how will you ever learn how to preach? If you don't hear the verses that I quote, how will you know which verses to quote? Do you know that verse from Bhagavad Gita that I quote? Huh? Do you know that verse?" Then both devotees looked at each other. Prabhupada said that this is very important. I want you to come every day and listen to me preach. How I preach, which way do I approach? How do I present the topic? So they said, "Yes, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Are you reading my books?" Prabhupada, and the devotee said, well, Prabhupada said, "You should read my books every day." "Are you reading my books?" They looked at each other and, "Well, we're very busy doing all these things." Prabhupada said, "No, you must read every day." He said, "Even I read my books every day. Did you know that? Did you know that I read my books every day?" Notice, they didn't know what to say. Prabhupada said, "Yes, I read my books every day. And do you know why I read my books every day?" The devotees didn't dare make any suggestion. At this point, they were a little afraid. They were getting deeper and deeper into trouble. "Do you know why I read my books every day?" He says, "I'll tell you why I read my books every day." And Prabhupada said, "Every morning when I come here and sit down to write these books," the Prabhupada waved his arm in the air, and he said, "Krishna himself comes and sits next to me and dictates every word. And that's why I read my books every day. And you should read, you should miss one day reading my books." And the voice said, "Yes, Prabhupada." And they bowed down and they left the room. So not only did Krishna send Prabhupada to write the books, but he dictated, or he helped Prabhupada write the books, or rather, should we say, he himself spoke the knowledge that was in the books. And Prabhupada also, he would read the books. He would, devotees, his servants would come and they would see him reading his own books, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book. And in the evening, in Los Angeles, in the garden, or in other places, Prabhupada would sit and the devotees read. He would read the books. He would read the story of Dvavida Gorilla. And Prabhupada would start laughing and laughing and slapping his knee. Next night, Shuddhakirti thought he would try to find another funny story, so he was looking through the books, looking through the chapters. Prabhupada said, no, just read wherever you bite it sweet. And once Prabhupada was listening to his books, and tears started to roll down his cheek. And that in those days, devotees were rather innocent. And one devotee asked, "Prabhupada, why are you crying?" Prabhupada said, "It is so beautiful how I could have written." So not only Prabhupada's in the book, but Prabhupada's ecstasy is Krishna. So Krishna's in the book. Krishna's in the books also. Otherwise, why would Prabhupada be so ecstatic? Once devotee, after a class, he asked, "Prabhupada, is the super soul standing or sitting?" Prabhupada closed his eyes. "He's sitting." Of course, there were many times when in the airport some reporter would ask, Swamiji, Swamiji, what have, why are you here? I have come to give you a brain. Such kind of, and reporters would ask Prabhupada so many questions. One time, reporter, Swamiji, Swamiji, have you seen God? Have you seen God? Prabhupada said, if I told you, would you believe me? But Swamiji, I mean, have you seen God, really seen God? Like I'm seeing you, have you seen God? Prabhupada said, if I told you, would you believe me? Then the reporter relented, yes, all right. Prabhupada said,
yes, I see.
I was there. Actually, Bhavananda Prabhu told a similar pastime after Prabhupada had left Nairobi and was coming back to India through Bombay. And Shamasundar had somehow misplaced the yellow fever cards. So they had to put Prabhupada, Shamasundar, and Bhavananda all in certain quarantine quarters. They had mosquito nets around. And Shamasundar was shaking in his boots because he thought that Prabhupada would really smash him. He said, oh, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, I don't know where those tickets are, those cards. I said, it's okay, I need a vacation anyway. So they were sitting in these places, and Prabhupada, there was a kind of balcony with mosquito netting. Prabhupada was rocking on a chair, and Bhavananda also sitting next to him. Prabhupada said, I never wanted to come here. And Bhavananda said, yes, yes, we're sorry about the yellow fever cards. And Prabhupada said, no, no, I never wanted to come to this material world. But Krishna told me I should come. Same conversation. Krishna told me I should come, but I didn't want to come. So there's so many austerities. But Krishna told me I should come and write these books. No. But I didn't want to come. Somehow Bhavananda Prabhu was always there when Prabhupada was revealing some kind of special thing about himself. All the time in Los Angeles, Hridayananda Maharaj and Karandar were sitting with Prabhupada in his room in the late afternoon. The sun was beaming through the window and further illuminating Prabhupada's golden form. Prabhupada was in a relaxed way with his knee up, leaning against some bolster pillows. And Prabhupada was recalling the old days in Calcutta. He said that in those days, the whole atmosphere was very pure, and people would work hard, and they would walk home to their neighborhoods in Calcutta, and along the road they would see the Brahmins cooking in their chulis, cooking rice, because the Brahmins, they cooked for themselves, they were very pure, they wouldn't even have their wives cook for them. So the Brahmins were all lined up along the side of the road with their little stoves and cooking rice. And they would come to their neighborhood, sit under the stars in the evening, cool evening air, and hear some verses from the Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita. And people were very pure. So that was the time that I appeared. That was the atmosphere I appeared in. And later, I grew up in Calcutta. I had my own Rath Yatra, and it was a bona fide Rath Yatra. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was 5 years old, he was on the street begging passers-by, can you give me a Rath card? Do you have a Rath card? Can I have your Rath card? can you build me a Rath cart? And he started crying. He would beg the people walking past, he's a small boy, to have a Rath cart. And one lady stopped, yes, I have a Rath cart, you can use mine. Oh, thank you. And little Abai, at 5 years old, he read a book about making fireworks. And he made firecrackers and skyrockets from his book. His mother was shocked. Mother was afraid. But Lord Vaughan said, let him build this. It's for Lord Jagannath. He was making firecrackers. He was 5 years old. And he had nice Rathyatra and distributed prasad. Prabhupada said, whatever I'm doing now, I was doing then. Do you understand? He told his two disciples in the privacy of his room, do you understand? There was never a time when I was not thinking of Krishna. Do you understand? Even then, Prabhupada wouldn't. He was a gentleman, so he wouldn't overtly say what his position was, but he was clearly indicating it by his words. And people today, not just in ISKCON, not just in the Gaudiya family, they appreciate Prabhupada's position very much. Although Chidananda was famous, he also made many mistakes in South India. And people later could see he wasn't so as serious as he should have been. But Sri Krishna Das, the senior sannyasi of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, over 100 years old, told his disciple that you should spend the rest of your life studying the 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita by Swami Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami. Disciple said, but that's the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are Ramanujas, we have our own books to study. He said, doesn't matter, you should just study this book. But he's from another sampradaya. Doesn't matter what sampradaya he came in. He said, the Lord directly told him what to write in his books. And therefore, they should be studied. Same thing happened in... Oh, maybe it's often quoted now, I don't know. Vishvatirtha Peshwara Maharaj, that is, I think it was the 750th anniversary of Madhvacharya, something like this. Some anniversary, yeah? And they had all the sannyasis and acharyas sitting on the stage, and this Peshwara Maharaj began to glorify Madhvacharya, his teachings. And then he started talking about Prabhupada. And he said, and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he has taken the teachings of Madhva, the Bhagavad and Gita, to the Western worlds and all around the world, and he propagated these pure teachings of Madhvacharya without changing anything. And all the people were looking at him. And then he did something new, more amazing. He motioned to all of the sannyasis on the stage and said, and all of us, put together, do not even make one speck of dust at the feet of one of the followers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I heard that he got in a little trouble saying such thing. And we have Govinda Das Baba. He was connected with the Mangir Mandir. Prabhupada, it's the Nityananda Vamsha, Nityananda Parivar line in Vrindavan. Prabhupada knew, used to visit this place and knew the Pracharis And one Govinda Das Baba told his disciple that in 1975, he said, you should go to the Krishna Balaram temple and take shelter of Bhaktivedanta Swami and take his mercy and instruction. So the disciple said the same thing. He said, I have my own guru. You're my guru. Why I need another guru? Govinda Baba said, guru is one. So you don't understand. He said, this person is very special. He's an avesh of Nityananda. You go there and take his instruction and bless him. Okay. Same day, this young man went there. He came into Prabhupada's room. The receptionist asked him, yes, can I help you? And the man said, I would like to see your Swami. The receptionist said, well, he's very busy now. He's in a meeting with his disciples right behind. He said, but I came very far. I came from all the way across town. I just wanted, just for a minute, I just offered pranam. My guru told me I should come. Prabhupada heard his voice and said, who's there? He said, some local man came. Okay, Prabhupada said, tell him to come in. Tell him to come in. Man came in. And he introduced himself. Prabhupada said, I knew your grandfather. Yes, please come in, sit down. He said, okay, the meeting's finished. Everyone can leave. So he was sharing some small talk with the boys. So how's your family? How's the temple? And how's the deity worship going on? And I said, very good. We hired some Brahmins to do the puja. I said, hired Brahmins? What? What do you mean hired Brahmins? You hire Brahmins? Where's the bhakti? You should do it yourself. I said, your grandfather was an old man. He did all the puja. You're a young man. You should do it. Don't hire Brahmins. Yes, 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 Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. And not only that, ringing the bell, you should preach Mahaprabhu's message in the foreign countries. You should go. Go and tell about Mahaprabhu's message. Now the man was really nervous. He said, but Mamash, I don't know any shlokas. I don't know about Prachya. He said, doesn't matter. You just go, open your mouth, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will tell you exactly what to say. Yeah, I said, if you say so. Prabhupada put his hand on his head. Said, yes. So the man laughed. It was like completely shaken and electrified with Prabhupada's preaching shakti. So you go there to the temple. Everyone's wearing saffron. He took sannyas from one of my god brothers, and he goes to Europe and other places to preach. So Prabhupada converted a Babaji into a Gaudiya Vaishnava preacher, sannyasi preacher. Usually, sometimes the opposite thing happens. I promised Babaji into a preacher.
He was actually the king of Mumia. Uh-huh. He was the king of Mumia. He was the son of the king.
Oh.
Yeah, well, the son becomes the king after the mother's birth. He's the god brother of my guru.
Even the upper sampradaya, you know, that Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, there's one man in Nandagaon, near Nandagaon. I forgot his name. He's a very powerful yogi. He has like 100,000 followers. Because they usually chant Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Rama. Japa is for Hare Krishna, and Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam. We know it only too well. But this man told his followers, no, this is wrong. He said we should do Hare Krishna Kirtan because Bhaktivedanta Swami is the Acharya, he's the Avesha Avatar of Nityananda. He does Hare Krishna Kirtan, so we should do it like that. This created a great uproar within their group. So even such people there, they're following Prabhupada. They're appreciating Prabhupada. both from South India, Ramanuja, Madhava line, outside of our, in our Gaudiya alliance, Nityananda Parivar, and other such people, all appreciating the potency of Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Even outside Vaishnava Sampradaya altogether, have you seen the Kirtan Rabbi?
No.
You go on YouTube and look up Kirtan Rabbi. And the people are dancing just like they're chanting all, you know, Hebrew mantras. But they're dancing like devotees, and they talk, oh, my heart was opened up. I never experienced happiness like this. So Prabhupada has established that this is chanting of the holy names. It's the Yuga Dharms. Even the, they're having to take it up to keep their people. You see, it's a big stage, you know, stodgy, you know, very ornate, you know, synagogue, and they're all chanting and dancing like like the happiness on 26th Second Avenue.
Where is it?
YouTube.
No, but where did it was?
I don't know.
New York.
Have I missed any of the problems? Anybody else?
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasai Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the material world, where one living being is food for another, Jivo jivasya jivanam, ahastani sahastanam, apadani chatushpadam, falguni tatramahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Those who don't have hands are food for those who do. The stronger ones prey on the weaker ones. This is the general rule of the material world.
that everyone wants to take something. And in that environment, even when somebody wants to give something, it tends to be aggressive, as we see in the case of the spread of Christianity, where oftentimes people were slaughtered into submission. This is good. Take it. And we see that it's hard to give things. Prabhupada mentions that our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this Tadati Pratigrinati principle. Tadati Pratigrinati Guhyam Akyati Prichyati Pumte Pujayate Chaiva Sadvidam Pratilakshanam. That out of love, there's an exchange of gifts, giving what's in one's heart, and giving gifts, giving prasadam, and receiving prasadam. And Srila Prabhupada was able to go everywhere, even though he came from, apparently, a foreign culture, and oftentimes didn't speak the local language, was able to give Krishna consciousness. He once said that even if you don't speak the local language, if your house is burning down, that you'll be able to tell the local people that you need help. And his mood of pritilakshanam, of sharing what he had to offer, was so profound and felt by people that they easily took it, even though it appeared in a different kind of package. Once recently, when I was in Santa Cruz, California, with the devotees, we were distributing books on the street there. It's a place where we can set up a table with a display of books and meet people as they're walking by. Do you need the fan on? Do you need one?
No.
And there's an interesting mix of people there in Santa Cruz, California. It's an affluent place. And there's a tinge of the mode of goodness, but the mode of ignorance is extremely prominent. And oftentimes we say it's the home of the homeless vegan, because one time I offered a homeless man a cookie as he was walking by our booth, and he said, "No thanks, I'm a vegan." I said, "You're homeless." And so we get a lot of snaggletooth, wild-eyed people coming by while we're meeting and greeting people and trying to give them what Srila Prabhupada gave us. And one day, this extremely crazy gentleman approached, and he had all the accoutrements of the homeless group, bags of things sort of collected, tied to his waist, and hadn't bathed in probably months. But he stood before the books, and then as we were wondering what he was about to do, he said, "I know something about this." And we said, "What do you know?" So he stood up straight and he said, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyasa." And he recited perfectly the first verse of the Bhagavatam. without any flaw. And on the way home, I was thinking the implications of that. That Srila Prabhupada was able to give in such a far-reaching way. And I have no idea how far it's gone. It's out there. What he put into motion, what he gave, and what he has asked us to give, oftentimes I don't realize the potency. It's like radiation. So we were talking about this the other night when we're hearing and chanting, hearing Prabhupada's books. You don't see radiation. The doctor tells you later, it's serious. You got a high dose of radiation. And later the effects will start showing up. From the inside out, when you get radiated, actually, your insides get fried. And then, you die. So Prabhupada, his power to give Krishna consciousness was so profound that the radiation of his goodwill has reached the hearts of people, even who are affected by the lowest modes of material nature. And this is one of the great glories of Srila Prabhupada, and how he was able to do that. When such a great personality leaves, today is his tirobhav, his disappearance. Yeah. And the word that comes to my mind is disaster. And that word disaster means without astro, without a star. So there's a way in which this word means it has to do with the heavenly influence, how stars have an influence on us. In Jyotish, we talk about grahas or grabbers. Each planet has some kind of influence. But when we talk about planets, actually we're really talking about people, living entities. Each planet is ruled by a person. That's what it is, actually. That's the graha. And just as the sun has its effect on us, so similarly all the other planets that are moving about, they also have influence. We can't see it as much as we do the sun, because we're so intimately connected with the sun in a visible way. So those grahas, they have a great effect. And each person, actually each living entity is like that, has an influence. When they come into our orbit, we experience, well, purusha prakriti stohi bhunti prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita, that whatever you have now, good or bad, or mixed, it's come about because of your sangha with one of these entities who was affected by and affecting you in a certain way because of the modes of material nature affecting them. So when such a powerful person as Srila Prabhupada was and is, leaves our vision of the effects socially within an organization, can be documented and have been studied, not just in our organization, but other organizations, and it's a disaster. That the star, the planet, the graha, who was there, has now disappeared, apparently, from my vision, and then there's a great disturbance. Arjuna felt this when Krishna left the planet and he came back to meet with Yudhishthira, and Yudhishthira saw all kinds of bad omens. There were, in omenology, there's all kinds of things. Bolts from the blue, the deities in the temple were crying, and he lists many of those things. And then when Arjuna comes to meet Yudhishthira, he sees that Arjuna's dejected, and he asks him, what's the matter? And he lists many, many things that it could have been. And then Arjuna says that actually it's that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has left our association, left the world. And therefore we're left bereft without him. And for him, it was a disaster. That influence of Krishna, who was there, was gone, and now his power was gone also. Speaking of which, so similarly, when Srila Prabhupada has gone away, then the effect is apparently disaster. However, Arjuna took advantage of remembering the instructions that Krishna had given him at Kurukshetra. And he began to take shelter of those instructions. And as the Srimad Bhagavatam says, then all the trash in his thoughts subsided, had gone away. So, on the Tirubhav, when the spiritual master disappears, when the great Acharya disappears, certainly there's disaster. And then there's a way in which every individual has to take it upon him or herself to take shelter of those instructions. And Prabhupada once said it many times, but clearly he pointed out this fact that the Acharya can give many kinds of instructions, but it's up to the individual to take it. He can't make you take it, and he can't make you follow it either. But it's profusely available to everybody who will take advantage of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and that becomes very apparent when devotees come together who are faithful, and in that faithful association they create a safe space in which to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and to remember the instructions and to carry them out. And from that, everything good will come. Srila Prabhupada said once that, "I didn't go to Thompson Square Park to attract a crowd. I went there to glorify Krishna." And the effect of that was that many, many people were attracted. So Srila Prabhupada's instructions, as I very much appreciated Srimati's three essential points, come down to some very simple fundamental things. You always win with fundamentals. If you stick to the basic thing and do it really well, then you're in rarefied company. And then everything good comes from that. So on the Tirubhav, I always take it as a day for reorganization, rededication, renewal. Just as when there's a forest fire, and there's a lot of hand-wringing and, of course, disaster when the forest catches on fire. Many people are displaced. Many living entities are displaced. However, forest fires, actually, if you read about it, when you walk through Muir Woods in California, it's a place where Prabhupada walked. I go there often to take a walk. There are signboards put up by the National Park extolling the glories of the forest fire because they bring the forest alive, actually. They clear away brush and let the sun through. There are many kinds of seeds that won't germinate until they've been cracked by the fire. And then behind is left all kinds of carbon that enriches the soil. So Tirubhav means disaster, but then again, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die for Vaishnavas. Die to live and living try to spread the holy name around. So with that disappearance comes even greater opportunity it's always there. But then I have a sense, at least this, at this point in my life, that, you know, of the great responsibility that we have to actually take it. And Srila Prabhupada gave it so many times, but at a certain point, I have to take responsibility and actually really take it. And that can be pretty scary. Most people don't want to take responsibility. It's easier to say, well, somebody else is holding me up. If those guys over there would just, you know, get their act together, I could do a much better job myself. But at a certain point, I have to realize that there's inherently chaos or obstacles in the material world, and I have to take full responsibility for getting through them. I had a realization on Parikram, going around Govardhan over and over again. And you know, sometimes it's dark, really dark, because like the other day, it was so dark, there's no moon and there's no lights, especially going in some of the back trails. And then the road's broken and there's holes and all kinds of things. And sometimes even in the light, it's hard to see where you're going. Or you could see where you're going, but there's not many places to step, you know, like there's gravel on this side and, you know, there's a sewer on the other side. Which way are you going to take, right? But it's amazing how fast the mind adapts to the whole thing. Because it's telling the feet, step here, step here, step there, and you're going quite quickly. And then this sutra came into my mind when I was on the Parikram going around, because I always make it around somehow, even though it's so difficult in some places. So it just came to my mind, these words, there's always a way through. You just have to find it. There's some place to step. You know, it's broken, it's a, you know, there's a traffic jam, whatever it is. If you just keep looking, there's always another next step where you can step and step and step. So similarly, you know, in my life, and I think in the life of our collective society, there have been times when it seems like the road's broken and there are so many difficulties, and there's always a way through. And those come by carefully sticking to the basics and taking the faith that Prabhupada had in the holy name and in Bhagavad Gita and in Purushottam as our life and soul, and the propensity to give it to others. This is the greatest thing. Prabhupada, you don't find this elsewhere. The way Prabhupada was so intent on making sure everybody got it, he didn't let people leave the room without getting prasadam. And he'd have somebody chase the person down, you know, the block, to make sure that they got the prasadam. And he was vigilant at every minute to make sure that we were sticking to the important things. One time, Krishnakanti and Karandar Prabhu had come up with a scheme. Krishnakanti ran the Golden Avatar Studios, so he made recordings. And Karandar was the GBC, a very powerful and great manager. They had collaborated and they had come up with an idea to make a record album that the devotees could sell, and then they'd make more money for book distribution. So I think they had it almost, it was like in the can, ready to go. And they brought the idea to Prabhupada. Krishnakanti tells the story. And so they went in and they presented it to Prabhupada. They said, we have this scheme, you know, about how we're going to get more money for book distribution, and we're going to do this and this and this record. And Prabhupada said, that is all right. As long as it does not interfere with the distribution of books by this much. And then he said it again. It's fine, good idea, but as long as it doesn't interfere with book distribution by even this much. And the way he presented that, when they left the room, they looked at each other and said, oh, forget it. Prabhupada stuck to the basics. He made us stick to the basics. And it works every time, without fail. wherever that vibration is going on with faith, then everything expands. And that's the way through, to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Acharya and be very vigilant, and be vigilant to see what he had said and what he did, and then follow that. And then there's a way through. Even though apparently on the Tirubhav there's a feeling of disaster, there's also a feeling of great hope and a great burden of responsibility that I must do this. I can't defer to other people that it's their problem. Now it's my problem. If I'm a disciple, it's my problem now. I have to take it and suffer through. This is tapasya, actually. Think about taking responsibility. Taking responsibility, if you go and sit in hot fire in the sun, or, you know, sit in cold water up to your neck, no problem compared to managing a temple these days and all the difficulties you have to worry about. You know, what everyone's saying, what the attacks are going to be. Every day it comes like waves. And for a while, I have one role as a temple president in California. And one day I was thinking, this is just too much. I mean, it doesn't stop. I mean, it's every day, more and more and more it comes. And then I realized, actually, this is good. This is tapasya. This is pleasing to Krishna. And I don't have to go sit in water. I don't have to go sit in fire. It comes. But that's what Prabhupada did. If you look and you see, study the history, he took it all. And he took responsibility. He didn't pass it to anyone else. It was his responsibility to make sure that the order of his spiritual master was carried out. And he did every single thing possible to make sure that it happened. So this is the meaning of the Tirubhav to those who are faithful followers, that now I take it on my head and do everything possible to find the way through. Whatever step I have to take, wherever I find it, I have to take it and keep moving with that mission to carry it on. And that is the realization that I've been, that I have on this Tirubhav day. And this environment and the talks here today have been so inspiring. I thank you all very much for your association. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Go Premanande!